Blog Talk Radio.
There's the snap, hand to Riggins. Good hole. He's got the first down, the 40. He's done. The 35, the 30, the 20. He's done. He's done. Touchdown, Washington Redskins. Woo-hoo.
Kick up. Kick the ball away.
It's good. It's good. It's good. Out of Vinatieri. Boom to 40. 8-yard field goal. And the game is over. And the Patriots.
Gets the snap. He's back. He pumps. Scrambles around. Throws it back corner of the end zone. Santonio with a touchdown. Santonio holds. I don't know how he did it. Dominique Parker's Cromartie doesn't know how he did it. But they rule touchdown in the far right corner of the end zone.
In motion. Comes right. Back to throw Montana. Steps up. Throws. Touchdown.
Sports' Red Zone Blitz. Frat House might come into here on October 4th, and don't look now, but 25% of the NFL season is down and out and in the books. God, it sounds so final when you put it that way, doesn't it? But it always amazes me how quickly it just goes by during the NFL season. You know, you get one game a week and you just click them down, and then you start quartering it the way I do, and then it really starts to get kind of almost depressing. Interesting week four, and that's what we're here to talk about. We're going to be sitting around here for the next 90 minutes or so, and we're going to be taking a look at it, turn it upside down, look at it backwards the whole bit. We'll take a look at week four. We'll take a look at the standings. Take a look at the interesting power rankings. We'll take a look at those perhaps maybe for a couple of minutes, for whatever that's worth. A couple of questions that come to my mind, I gotta be honest with you. Has anybody noticed there seems to be a little bit of a problem with the Carolina Panthers? Huh? Is that the most weird thing that you've ever seen in your life? You know, the Carolina Panthers right now, 1-3. But add insult to injury, the Atlanta Falcons are 3-1. What's wrong with that picture? All right, hold on. Oh, all right, so you got that one, right? All right, so we don't have to go far. You don't have to go far to get a similar situation when it comes right down to it, because that's the NFC South. Well, what if we flip it up and we go over to the NFC West? Arizona Cardinals are 1-3. Los Angeles Rams are 3-1. What's wrong with that picture, folks? I mean, do we have two upside-down divisions here, or are they exactly as they should be? Perhaps. Maybe that's just the case. Maybe I'm just having a little difficulty processing what one would think should be the, what, norm? We'll talk about what is the norm in 2016. The Raiders, wow, certainly a legit team in more than one way, in many more than one way. I'm really going to put some praise. I'm going to heap some praise on the Oakland Raiders this week. For all of you out there in Raider Nation, you want to chime in. Hey, this is the show you want to do it. That's exactly right. I was just talking about those Rams. Hey, you know, much to maybe sidekick chagrin, maybe that's all they needed was just a change of scenery. I don't know, because we're going to talk about them at length. I got to wonder about the Denver Broncos. Well, at least when it comes to the power rankings, anyhow. Because I don't get it. It seems to me they're not getting the respect they should get. They're 4-0, and yet they don't have a power ranking above the New England Patriots, who just got shellacked by the Buffalo Bills, shut out by the Buffalo Bills at Gillette Stadium. Huh? Yeah, they're above the Broncos. I think that's a fail. And I'm going to call them, I'm going to call USA Today specifically out on that one. But in that same power ranking, very interesting, three brand new teams all in the top 10, and you can't deny them. Falcons, Raiders, and Rams all in the top 10 in the USA Today power rankings. That's why I said we're going to talk about the power rankings a little bit. But as I pointed out, listen, you saw two unbeaten teams go down this past weekend in the Baltimore Ravens and the New England Patriots. So now we are just down to three unbeaten teams, and really one of them not as legitimately an unbeaten team because they were on a bye week, and that's the Philadelphia Eagles, who are at 3-0, and the other two are at 4-0. Anyhow, we'll get into all of these things and anything else that you might want to talk about that happened on the field in week four this past week, weekend, in the NFL as we get ready for week five coming up. If you want to chime in with us on your team or anything that we're talking about or anything that might be on your mind that happened on the field, hey, don't hesitate to give us a call here. 347-826-9964 is how you can get a hold of us here at Fried House Sports. Always 347-826-9964. Otherwise, you can hit us up in our Blog Talk Radio chat room, or better yet, get over to my Twitter and hit me up at Frat House Mike. It's always open. I'm always checking. And I'm checking it right now, as a matter of fact, just to see whether anybody wanted to chime in on anything I've said so far. Let me get my co-host in here, who's a tad bit under the weather, but I think he'll get through the next 90 minutes or so, because, look, we're talking about football. I said we're talking about football. How we doing, Brandon?
Yeah, I'm breathing. I'm doing all right. We'll get through it.
Listen,
football, man, football.
Exactly right. I knew that would spark you up. You know, I've started it out for the past couple of weeks by saying to you, hey, what are a couple of the games that jump out at you? What are the storylines that are jumping off the page at you? Let me throw in my observation for this week, Brandon, and I got to tell you something. I think the biggest storyline coming out of week four, and we're going to talk about, before we're done here this evening, we're going to talk about the Baltimore Ravens, and we're going to talk about the Oakland Raiders, and we can talk about the Denver Broncos and the Minnesota Vikings game last night, which was very, very good. That was a great game last night. We can talk about that Monday night game. We could talk about all those things, but I got to tell you right now, I think the thing that's jumping off the page at me, and I want to get your thoughts on it, are the Atlanta Falcons being 3-1, while simultaneously the Carolina Panthers are 1-3, and that just is, it so happens that's who played each other there this weekend. Atlanta Falcons coming out of that one on top 48-33. That jumps off the page at me. And then the other one is when you go over to the NFC West and you've got the Los Angeles Rams at 3-1, while the Arizona Cardinals are 1-3. And they just both so happened to play each other this past weekend. And the Rams came out on top of that one, 17-13. I think those are the two big stories, two big headlines that jump off the page, you know. And it's the headlines really can be designed depending on your fan base. In other words, if you're a Carolina Panthers fan base, what's wrong with the Carolina Panthers? If you're an Atlanta Falcons fan, it's got to be, you know, hey, way to go, Dirty Birds. You know, this is incredible. You know, the Rams, if you're – I mean, so it can be – it's a very interesting dichotomy that we see going on right now with these two divisions and what's happening with both of these teams. Your thoughts on both of those as far as whether they're the big stories coming out of four or not, out of week four?
Well, they are both big stories if you think about it. Remember back to last year's NFC title game happened to be the Arizona Cardinals against the Carolina Panthers, who were both talking about being 1-3. We're talking about the cream of the crop for the NFC last year, and this year they're bottom feeders, essentially, so far anyway. I can't really explain the Falcons. I want to see the Falcons continue. You know, I want to see them. I want to see where they're at. Like, let's say halfway at 8 games. See if they still hold on, because I'm not sold on the Falcons being a real solid contender yet. Being 3-1 certainly puts them in, you know, in contention. They got, you know, you can't dismiss that, but at the same token, it's, you know, I'm not sold. They don't really pass the eye test just yet.
Okay, that's interesting. That's interesting. All right. I mean, there are some people that might, you know, when you take a look at passing yard leaders right now in the NFL, number one is Matt Ryan. He already has almost 1,500 yards in just 4 games. Now, I'd have to take some serious look at and maybe I'll do that here before we're done here. Take a good look at the 4 games that they've played, at what their schedule looks like and what they have coming up. You know, who you know, perhaps maybe they've been the beneficiary of a fairly soft schedule, which wouldn't surprise me if that were the case. But
well, I mean, if you look at it, you know, we thought that the Saints were going to be bad. The Buccaneers are still rebuilding and, you know, working on a second-year quarterback with a new coach. You know, the Panthers are 1-3. We thought they were going to be good. They're not. So that leaves you the Falcons in that division. So, you know.
So maybe they're just stepping in and filling a vacuum at the moment.
Maybe. You know what? I don't want to take anything away from them. They may have improved. I don't want to say they're not. I just – what I've seen right now is their defense can't stop nothing yet. You know, they've been winning, but they've been giving up a ton of points.
Yeah.
So, and they don't look good on defense. You know, from what I've seen, you know, the games I've seen of them. So yeah, like I said, maybe if we, you know, get halfway into the season and all of a sudden they're, you know, holding the teams to under 20 points, at least. I'm not asking them to be, you know, like the Denver Broncos or anything. But
you make a good
right
point.
Now.
You make a very, very good point. They do, in fact, lead the league right now in points for at 152. But they also are second in the lead for points against. Tampa Bay actually holds that by just 4 points. Their net points is only a positive 28. They've had 152 points for versus 124 points against. So you're looking at a net of only 28 over 4 games played so far. That, you know, divided by, you know, they're winning by approximately 7 points. So, I mean, you make a very, very good point. They're putting up a ton of points, but it's evident that they're also allowing a ton of points to be scored. So
what that would tell me is if they were in the playoffs, a smart coach is going to take away enough of their offense that, you know, they're not going to stand a chance in the playoffs against a good team and a good coach. That's what that tells me right now. They need to be able to come up with the big clutch stop, you know, at the end of the half, at the end of the game. And right now they ain't stopping nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's why I mean, that's where I say they don't pass the eye test. you know, everybody's going to have bad games. I mean, you have good teams that'll have a bad game every now and then. I mean, my team this year, we, you know, had a horrible game. I don't think they had 100% healthy anybody playing quarterback. So, you know, I don't want to make excuses, and I'm not. But, you know, I can forgive what happened on Sunday. I don't like the fact they got shut out. But, you know, what are you going to do? You it happens in the NFL from time to time. You move on. This week we just happen to be moving on with a future Hall of Fame quarterback who's got a bit of a chip on his shoulder.
I hear you. And, yes, you know, I can imagine that we'll be getting into a little bit of that conversation perhaps maybe on Thursday night for sure. I'm playing devil's advocate here for a minute, Brandon, because don't get me wrong. I don't want to be perceived by anybody out there as being somebody that is a big Atlanta Falcons fan or that I'm going to sit here and promote them. I'm not. But let me play devil's advocate with you for a moment. You're talking about, you know, hey, the eye test and whatever. I got you there. Let me throw some numbers at you with regard to Matt Ryan. He leads the league, both America, both AFC and NFC, in yardage, 1,473. He leads the league in passing percentage, 72.1. He leads the league in yards per attempt at 10.52. He leads the league in touchdown per interception ratio, 11 touchdounds to 2 INTs, and he leads the league in quarterback rating at 126.3. Holy smokes! Now, we've seen this sort of thing, well, maybe not to this quite this extent from Matt Ryan, but we certainly have seen Matt Ryan have some really, really good starts to seasons in the past. And then I don't know. Somehow or another, he kind of hits a wall, doesn't he?
Yep. His playoff record is atrocious. So, you know, when they do make the playoffs, they generally don't win. You know, like I said, and, you know, you pointed it out. He started the season like gangbusters, you know, before. And, you know, somehow it just doesn't seem to end that way. So,
yeah.
Like I said, with the Falcons, to me, it's a wait and see deal. They got to show me something. They got to show me something later in the season. They got to show me something on the other side of the ball. With Julio Jones and some of the weapons that guy got, he better be decent numbers. Let's put it that way. And, you know, I'm not going to get super excited about the Falcons at this point, but I'm not going to rule them out. I mean, the way their division is and, you know, They certainly are on track now to win the division. So, you know, we'll see how things continue to play out moving forward.
Okay, for a minute, before we jump in, because one of the games, and well, we could start out with it. One of the games that I had at the top of the list to kind of dissect a little bit was that Falcons and Carolina Panthers game. But before I get to that, let me just briefly get over to that other storyline, and that's the Rams and the Arizona Cardinals. Now, we've kind of done, you and I here, just for a couple of seconds, we've done a little bit of diagnosing vis-a-vis, well, maybe we haven't diagnosed anything. I mean, maybe we've just brought up the obvious, but at least we've kind of discussed a little bit some of the anomalies that we're seeing with the Atlanta Falcons versus the Carolina Panthers. What about this Arizona Cardinals team that everybody thought was, hey, listen, this was the surefire year. This was the surefire year that the Cardinals would be running away with this division. Are you kidding me? You got the San Francisco 49ers with transition going on over there. They don't know who the hell their quarterback is. They got a new head coach who, in my opinion, is an idiot. You got the Rams just, you know, getting comfortable with their new digs in Los Angeles. And, you know, they weren't a very good team as it was coming from St. Louis anyhow. Who the heck am I missing? Who am I missing out of the West? Why am I having a brain fart?
Seahawks?
Thank you. Well, hey, and the Seahawks, I mean, you know, I don't care what anybody says. They might be 3-1 right now. They might be, but I think that's a mirage at this moment. But we can talk about that one. But a lot of people really thought, okay, this was the Arizona Cardinals division to have. And, you know, I kind of forgave the first, you know, the first couple of weeks or a few stumbles. I don't know if I can do it this week. I don't know if I can, forgive, you know, this stumble this week with a loss to the Rams. What do you make of what's going on here?
You know what? I can't really put my finger on the Cardinals. They have lots of talent. They're three deep at running back. I don't know what the status of Chris Johnson is. I know he left the injury with a groin, left the game with a groin injury. Carson Palmer's, you know, not great, and now he's in the concussion protocol, probably sitting out this Thursday. They're going to have to deal with Drew Stanton as their quarterback. There's really no real good news on the Arizona side, except for, you know, you look at it, they've only have 80 points against them. That's not a horrible number compared to some of these other numbers we're looking at up and down the list. So their defense is still playing okay. It's just the offense ain't clicking. They ain't putting up points. And, I that's a tough thing to diagnose at this point in the season.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
I hear you. I can't seem to put my finger on it either. And – well, anyhow, well, I guess we'll wait until we get to those couple of games. Maybe something will fall out of the cracks here that we might figure out. I think the bigger thing to scratch my head about a little bit are the Rams being 3-1. And again, this might be a situation where they've been beneficiaries of a soft schedule or something to that effect on the front end. But interestingly, as a result of everything that we've talked about so far, the Falcons in one of the power rankings that I use anyhow, in the USA Today power rankings, which came out today, the Atlanta Falcons are sitting at number 8. The Oakland Raiders are at number 9. And the Rams are at number 10. The Falcons moved 3 points up from 11 to 8. The Raiders moved from 15 to 9. And the Rams moved from 18th. So, holy smokes. We got three teams right there at the top in the top 10 in the power rankings for USA Today that I don't think anybody, you know, 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago would have said, oh yeah, I think going into week five, I think for sure that the Rams will probably be one of the top 10 teams in the league. I don't think anybody would have said that one. So,
I've never really put in a lot of faith into the power rankings, to be honest with you. I think they're just a lot of stuff for the media to fill out a column, and people like to see when their team's good, they like to see their team on the top kind of thing. Like you said, you don't move 8 positions. You know, we're a quarter of the way into the year. You have a 25% sample rate of the season, and you're going to move a team 8 spots. I mean, to me, that's a little ridiculous. I'm sorry. I've just never had a lot of faith in the power rankings. I don't know. I don't even really like looking at them. They don't do anything for me, as far as I'm concerned. Can I tell you, just looking at the Rams in the 5 minutes we've been looking at them, the one thing that sticks out to me is they're 3-1, but they've given up more points than they scored. They're actually 13 points net in the hole with a 3-1 record. Explain that one to me. They got their butt handed to them in one game, and they win all their other games very close.
Explain that one from Jeff Fisher. That's a Jeff Fisher team.
Yeah.
That is supposed to always – I mean, if there's going to be something that's going to be strong with a Jeff Fisher team, which we've seen it now year after year after year after year, you know, He's the most successful mediocre coach in all of the NFL. It's supposed to be his defense.
I'm not saying his defense is bad. They've only given up 76 points, but their offense has only put up 63. That's the part that I don't understand. There are fake 3-1 teams. This team is going to have a reality check as they keep going in their schedule, and they're going to come back down to earth. I will say this right now with certainty that the Rams will not stay atop of that division, even with, you know, the other teams looking horrible. The Cardinals or the Seahawks will find a way to right their ship, and they will be one of those teams will win this division, and the Rams will not. I don't care if they are 3-1 right now. I still think they're a horrible team. They don't look good at all. They're winning games ugly, and, you know, that's never a good recipe for, you know, long-term success in the NFL.
Okay, well, just out of curiosity, as you point out, it's still early. Yeah, you know, we can, as I did, dramatically, point out that 25% of the season is in the books, as I started the show. But it's still early. All right, now, if looking at the NFC West, and you're saying, okay, it won't be the Rams sitting at the top of that division, which I might agree with you, it won't be. Who would be your best bet that would be coming out of it at the end?
I say it's either whichever team gets whatever issue figured out, be it the Seahawks or the Cardinals, whichever one figures it out. And right now I almost got a lead to the Seahawks, because the Seahawks are 3-1. They're not going to be playing with their backup quarterback this Thursday. So, you know, to me, you know, I kind of lend it to the Seahawks over the Cardinals. But the Cardinals, okay. I think the Cardinals have more talent. I wouldn't be shocked if the both teams pass the Rams as the season goes. And you know, that's with me just saying that with the Rams have beaten both of them already once. I'm looking at their record right now. The team that we thrashed the hardest, the 49ers, beat the Rams on opening day 28-0. Since then, they've beaten the Seahawks, get this, 9-3, the Buccaneers 37-32, and the Cardinals 17-13. None of that is impressive in any form or fashion. So, you know, they're going to play the Bills this week. Then they go to the Lions and Giants. They could have three losses on their schedule right there.
And that 9-3 game against the Seattle Seahawks, some had claimed, was the worst game in NFL history in the past 10 years. So you're absolutely right about that one. My flash just crashed on my computer.
Oh, no.
All right. I'm trying to get things back up. All right. Let's go over real quick here and take a look at. Let's break this Panthers game down. Okay. Yeah. I got to update this page too. Okay. Let's break this game down for a second. Cause I was just taking a look at the Atlanta Falcons schedule. All right. Now I pointed out to you that, the Falcons beat the Panthers 48-33, and that put the Falcons at 3-1, and that dropped the Carolina Panthers to 1-3. And it, at this particular moment, gave the division lead to the Atlanta Falcons, who are right now 3-1. All other teams in the division 1-3 at this point: Tampa Bay, Carolina, and the Saints. Matt Ryan threw for 503 yards in that game, 28-37, 503. Four touchdowns, one interception. We know the story here. We know the fantasy story here. It's sick. Everybody was talking about, hey, did you have Matt Ryan on your fantasy team? Hey, did you have Matt? I mean, that's all I heard, you know, over social media over the past couple of days. Julio Jones, 300 yards in the air. 12 receptions, 300 yards in the air, and a touchdown. Touchdowns to Robinson. Touchdowns to Austin Hooper. Spread it out over how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Nine different receivers. Devonta Freeman threw in 57 yards running on the ground. It was a complete game. I'm just looking at the defensive numbers at this point right now. There was a defensive touchdown for the Falcons, but there was also one for the Carolina Panthers. So that kind of is a wash. Cam Newton, I guess, has to be the big story. Left the game. And I think even at this point right now, Brandon, I don't know, have you picked up anything over on PFT? I haven't seen anything over on USA Today. Have you picked up anything with regard to Cam Newton's status?
I know he was evaluated for a concussion. I never heard if it was diagnosed and if he was in the protocol or not. That I don't know. But you got to think if it's even remotely close, they're gonna put it, you know, watch him anyway. I know there's different levels that they have to get past. So, you know, I have not seen anything official though on Cam. And I'm kind of thinking, are the Panthers possibly on a bye this week?
No, Panthers are playing Monday night.
They're playing Monday. That's right. So they're
first play Monday
away.
Night.
Yeah, it's not
so
the
they
same
do
situation
get the extra
like
depth.
The Cardinals. Yeah, the Cardinals are the ones playing on a short week.
Yes, the Cardinals are playing on Thursday. So they're going to have a bigger problem with Carson Palmer. But Cam Newton, they do get the extra day here if they need it, with the game being scheduled for Monday night. The game is at home for Carolina, and they will be playing Tampa Bay. However, in the game that we saw it at the end, we saw Cam Newton leaving the game just a couple of seconds early. I guess it really was a couple of seconds early on before halftime.
Oh, that was the half, right, yeah.
Yeah, but he did not come back after half. Derek Anderson took over the game from halftime on. So you got split stats here. But, you know, overall, Brandon, Cam Newton just hasn't looked right yet this season at all. I mean, forget this week. Forget the fact it was only half a game. He was 14 to 25, 165, one touchdown when he was in the game. He got sacked once. He was sacked. We know he was sacked a hell of a lot of times last week against Minnesota. I don't know if this is a team thing. I don't know if it's Newton himself. You know, I don't know if it's the offensive line. I don't know. But this team just doesn't look the mojo that they did last year, do they?
No. Last year it looked like Cam Newton put him on his back and carried them through, through games, and it just doesn't look the same this year. I'm not sure what's off. I mean, if anything, they have Kelvin Benjamin back. They still have Greg Olsen, who's probably one of the best tight ends in football. They have a solid team. They should be winning these games. Them and the Cardinals are the two hardest teams to figure out. You know what I mean? The teams that are doing well, you know, they're easy. I can look at them and I can see, you know, okay, what do you got to do to prove to me, you know, what you're, you know, that you're for real versus, you know, some of these other 3-1, 4-0 teams that, you know, I know we probably have them later in the schedule, just as an example, Dallas at a 3-1. They look like a real 3-1 team. The Falcons did not. So, you know, that's what I'm talking about when I say look right. And I can't say what looks wrong, you know what I mean? Or the Cardinals, for that matter, both teams. It's hard to place it. You always start with the quarterback, and, you know, Cam Newton just, I don't know, maybe he does just look off. And the same could be said for, Carson Palmer.
Yeah.
It's a tough situation, you know. Both these teams are under the gun at this point. They have very little room for error at this point. And the Cardinals, they're really, they got to play Thursday, a short week with their backup. They already know, Carson Palmer's already in the concussion protocol. I don't think anybody's ever been cleared in 4 days. So
yeah.
I think it's pretty much a foregone conclusion. Drew Stanton starting this week, and Carson Palmer's unavailable. So,
it's interesting too. And you bring up, that they're kind of under the gun.
They are.
And that's not to make it sound like, either of the coaches are under the gun or,
No, not at all. They're under the gun for their playoff hopes.
Exactly right. But what's so bizarre about even making that statement is that we're talking about two teams that are under the gun from two divisions that, let's get it straight, aren't that competitive. I mean, seriously, it's not like they're coming from I'm trying to think of a really good solid division, the NFC North.
There aren't many anymore. Yeah, the NFC North might be your best.
It's not like they're coming from there, or the heyday, of just a couple of years ago where, the NFC East, where you might have had three teams all vying for things, all vying for, somebody to win the division, and then possibly two teams with a wild card. I mean, you're talking about two divisions that really, when it comes right down to it, are not that strong. And by virtue of the fact that both of them are playing as poorly as they are right now early on, they're making both those other teams, or I guess in the NFC West case, there's two of them, you're making the other teams look better, I think, than they really are. The fact that Carolina is 1-3 is probably helping Atlanta. Atlanta's 3-1 look better. You know what I mean?
Right.
It probably isn't all that great. Atlanta's 3-1 probably really isn't all that great. But if it weren't for the fact that Carolina is a surprising 1-3, one of the things I said that I wanted to do was take a look at the Falcons schedule. Who they played to date and what those scores were and who they got coming up. All right. Now, this is Atlanta's schedule right now. They opened up their season at home, and that was the game they lost to the Buccaneers. And if you remember, Brandon, that was the game that Jameis Winston came out and lit it up. Okay. But the Falcons only lost by 7. It was 31-24. But that was the game that everybody said, oh my God, look at Jameis Winston. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be the real deal. And I got to be honest, I drank a little of that Kool-Aid myself. I kind of thought, oh, my goodness. Oh, you're stepping back and you're going, whoa. Okay, I guess this kid's come into his own, and he's letting everybody know it as of today. Well, since that win by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they haven't won another one yet. But the Falcons take a loss there. Now, that was at home. They go on the road to the West Coast, and they play the Falcons or they play the Raiders, and they beat the Raiders, who I'm going to heap praise at here in a couple of moments or a couple of minutes. They beat the Raiders by 7, 35-28. All right. They stay on the road. They go to New Orleans, and they beat New Orleans by 13 points, 45-32. All right. And then they come back home and they beat the Panthers by 15, 48-33. That's pretty respectable. Now, they lost one at home, but that was against the Buccaneers, who I think really wanted to come out and make a statement, and they did, and they haven't done anything since. But the win then, two on the road, particularly one all the way across the country, I think is actually – That's pretty darn good. Now, they got to go to Denver this week. They're going to go to Denver this week. They're going to go to Seattle the week after. So they're going to spend 2 weeks out on the West Coast. Then they're going to come home and they're going to play the Chargers. So they got all the West Coast teams in a row. 1, 2, 3. Then they're going to stay at home and they're going to play the Packers. So of the next 4 games, Broncos, Seahawks, Chargers, Packers, I would say the Falcons have got them 3 really good tests right there. They got 3 pretty really good tests right there. Now, they've got 2 wins on the road right now, and they're 1-1 at home. They're going to have to go on the road to beat the Broncos. They're going to have to go on the road to beat the Seahawks. The Chargers, a lot of people probably would say, okay, Atlanta probably should win that one, but then they're going to have the Packers. I think the next 4 games kind of defines whether the Falcons are what they are, right? Would that do it for you?
Yeah.
That would take you to midseason. That would take you to midseason.
My guess is they're going to be 4-4 after those 4 games. They're going to lose 3 of those 4 games.
Whoa!
I don't think they have a prayer to beat. No, let's get this straight. Look at the teams and look at how they're constructed. The Broncos play great defense, so they're going to slow Matt Ryan down. You got to think that, okay? And the Broncos offense is not horrible, so a weak Atlanta Falcons defense ain't going to really be a big deal to them. The Broncos win that, and it's in Denver, so it's tough to win in Denver because of the air and not knowing how to play, et cetera, in the thin air. So, you know, that one I absolutely call a loss. Green Bay Packers is an absolute loss because they play good defense. Their offense is very potent. Even if it's a shootout, the Green Bay defense will come up with a stop or two on Ryan, and the Packers will find a way to win. So those two I just right off the top say loss. I say it's a crapshoot with the other two games. They could win them. They could lose them. So I'll go 50-50. That's why I say they're going to be 1-3 on that 4-game stretch. You know, going out to Seattle, you know, they're going to play in the rain. You know, that's going to slow their offense down. You know, Seattle has a loud crowd, even though they don't look good, but their record says they're good at 3-1. So, you know, the crowd should be into the game. That's a tough nut right there. You know, they could be, you know, if the Chargers find a way to win that game, they could be 0-4. The Falcons could. I don't think so. I think they win they'll probably win the Charger game. You know, but I don't see them winning. I absolutely don't see them winning either the Broncos or the Packer game. They're 2 losses for that team. And just because of how they match up. It's the matchups. You know, that defense has not shown that they can do anything with anybody. And you're going to go against a super solid Green Bay offense, and you know, Denver's offense hasn't been terrible. They're riding the defense without a doubt. But, you know, I read a report today, Trevor Siemian's feeling fine and ready to start. So I don't even think you're going to see an interruption at quarterback in Denver. You know, there was no structural damage, just a sprain. Says it feels good. He's ready to go. That's what he says. Now, we'll see what the coaches and doctors say, but you know, they don't have to release injury reports till tomorrow, so that'll give you at least some idea. So my guess. I say the Falcons go 1-3 on the 4 games.
Interesting. And if there are any Falcons fans out there, you want to give us a holler or give us a holler or not? If you want to scream at Brandon, 347-826.
Yeah, bring it.
9964. 347-826-9964. It's how you get a hold of us here.
I'm not necessarily trashing him. I'm just calling it the way I see it. I don't see the Falcons' defense as being able to do anything.
It's a funny thing. Everybody, like I said, the buzz phrase out in social media on many of the sports and fantasy sports. You know, Matt Ryan this past week, 503 yards, 4 touchdowns. I mean, you know, we all saw it. It would be one thing if that was an anomaly. But as I pointed out, He's leading the league in practically every category so far this season. And when you look at the teams he's played, I think it's pretty balanced. I really do. I think, I mean, you know, I was questioning, well, you know, have they been the beneficiaries of a soft schedule? I'd say no. They have not been. The Raiders are a good team. The Panthers were supposed to be a good team. You know, the Falcons, or not the Falcons, the Saints, rather, are what we you know, the Saints are what we know the Saints to be. So, the Buccaneers, though, they were a question mark. So, anyhow, interesting. All right, well, listen, I want to come back to it in week 8, and we'll see where the Falcons stand and see how your prediction went as far as the next four games, whether, in fact, they turn out to be. You write it down. Make a note up there. Jot some notes down up there with regard to your prediction. Let's go over and take a look at the Oakland Raiders and the Baltimore Ravens. This was a game we actually had on our – we had it on our radar even on Thursday night as part of our own picks of the week. And all of us picked the Ravens. Every one of us picked the Ravens on this one. And every one of us was wrong by exactly 1 point. The Raiders won this game 28-27. And I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, Brandon. Despite the fact it made us wrong in our selection and our pick, I didn't feel bad about it. You know, I've been coming on the air here right on this program, I guess, for the better part of this might be the third season now, definitely the second season, but might be the third now where I've been coming on the air here and kind of promoting the Raiders. And like I like watching the rebuild that they've gone through and what they've done and how they've added and where they're what they're up to. And, you know, how you can see the progression occurring with this Raiders team. I think it's great to watch. But I also brought up last week that I did not think that the Ravens were a true 3-0 team. And I think they proved that this past week, that they're really not a true 3-0 team. Let's just go over some numbers here real quick. Joe Flacco last week put the ball in the air 52 times, 32 of 52, 298 yards, and only one touchdown out of that. They did get 130 yards on the ground, most of that coming from Terrence West, who had 113 yards and a touchdown on 21 carries. You know, and I brought this up in my analysis on Thursday night on our Frat House Sports Show. Look at what they're – I mean, Steven Smith, senior, just absolutely ridiculous. This guy is the team's leading receiver, and he was supposed to be retired at this point right now. He wasn't
Came
even supposed to be
there. Came off a bad Achilles injury, too.
Yep. And this guy is leading the team in receiving. In some respects, I almost call that a violation on Baltimore. You know, maybe their attitude is, hey, we're going to get the most out of him in his final year because that is what a good business does. At the same time, I think it's bad because I say they should have been much more proactive in making sure that they were ready to go with somebody to replace Steven Smith. Go ahead, make your point.
Well, he had 8 catches, 111 yards, and a touchdown this last week against the Raiders in the loss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's putting up solid numbers. They did sign Mike Wallace as a free agent, you know, and he's just, you know, he is what he is. He's always been flighty. He has tons of, you know, on paper talent, but it just doesn't ever, you know, since he left Pittsburgh, he's just never been the number one guy. It's, I don't think they haven't tried. I just think it's just nobody's stepped up yet. You know what I'm saying? Looking at it, there's 32 receptions got spread around, you know, 8, 9, 10 guys, just like Matt Ryan did. So I don't think they're relying too much on Steve Smith. I think Steve Smith is just one of those special players that can play at any age. you know, to a certain point, you know, like a Jerry Rice type. Jerry Rice played well into his late 30s, you know, at a very high level. And that's what Steve Smith Sr. is doing. So I wouldn't take it away from him. I wouldn't, like, blame the Ravens. They clearly have, you know, they're trying. And I don't understand, really, honestly, if you look at the way this game, it was a very close game all the way through. Like, there is nobody ever had a really, you know, big advantage. I mean, you know,
Correct.
Looking at the quarter-by-quarter progression, it's just, you know, the Raiders just kind of outlasted them. It's kind of mm-hmm. the way, it looks to me. You know, we watched some of the end of the game, you know, on Sunday, but,
yep.
you know, I'm not ready to – I thought the Raiders were going to be a good team going into this year. So, you know, I don't call this a bad loss for the Ravens, and I'm not trying to pump up the Ravens or anything, but the Raiders are a 3-1 team. You know, the Ravens are a 3-1 team. You know, when you have two good teams play, one's losing, you know. Maybe it's a motivator. I mean, I haven't looked at the upcoming schedule yet, but I got to think there's a game like this on the schedule where we're going to have two good teams coming at each other, you know, at some point, you know, this coming week. And, you know, one of them's going to have to walk away, you know, with a loss.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I am going to heap a lot of praise on the Raiders. I think the manner in which that they have gotten to 3-1 this season, I think has been laudable. They've got one loss. And the only thing that I don't like about that one loss is it's the only game so far that they have played at home. They have won all three of their games on the road, and they've won all three of their games far away on the road. All three of them have been well east. They won their opener, their season opener, in New Orleans. Now, they only won that game by 1 point. That was 35-34 against New Orleans. But I would bet you, if I went back and I took a look at the odds on that one, I would bet you that the season opening odds probably were in favor of the Saints on that game. They came home and they lost to the Falcons at home. That was the only loss so far that they've had. They then went on the road to the Tennessee Titans, which are the Tennessee Titans. But, hey, nonetheless, you still have to go on the road all the way to the East Coast. They beat the Titans 17-10, and then this past week they beat the Raiders 28-27. Now, all of the games, take a look at them, very, very close games. 35-34 in a win, 17-10 in a win, 28-27. They're winning very, very close games. So, you know, your point is well taken. These are not... We're not seeing dominance here from this Raiders team. But I think to accomplish that, I think is really, really quite laudable. Really, really very laudable.
Yeah, I agree with you. I have no issue with the way the Raiders are doing. I think they're doing well. I think they did a nice job improving the team. I think one of their weak areas last year was defense, and I think it's showing, you know, at least a slight improvement, and, you know, they're going in the right direction. You know, they're still giving up quite a bit of points, you know, but, you know, as long as they can keep winning the games, you know, more power to them. I'm not really trashing either one of these teams. I look at this as, you know, this could be a round one playoff meeting down the road. You know, the Raiders and Ravens. I mean, I don't know, you know, I have to look at the mechanics of how that would be to make it work out. But, you know, I think they're both good teams, and I think they're both going to win games. I think, you know, I don't know that either one's like championship ready, but you never know. See how they develop throughout the year. We've seen teams catch, you know, some momentum towards the end and go. You know, I think there's better teams in both their divisions. I mean, honestly, I think Denver's proven, you know, that they may not have Peyton Manning, but, you know, they still have a solid defense, and the quarterbacks they do have are more than capable of doing what Peyton did last year. I mean, I don't think anybody, you know, thinks Peyton lit the world up last year. And I think Trevor Siemian so far has done a very nice job in his second year. And the little bit we saw out of Paxton Lynch on Sunday didn't look, you know, wasn't anything to be ashamed of. And, you know, the same goes, you know, in the Ravens division with Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh's going to, you know, be the cream of that crop when it's all said and done. And, you know, but that doesn't mean that I don't think it'd be wild card. I think you, both the Ravens and Raiders be a solid wild card team when it's all said and done. Right now, I'd probably call them the two leading candidates looking at the AFC.
Ooh, gosh, we're getting a lot of predictions here. I got to get a piece of paper.
No, it's early. I'm right now. I'm not ready to. Yeah. You know, I'll stick by my Falcons prediction because, you know, I don't like that defense. I don't think it looks good. I don't like any part of it. And you know, I'm pretty sure with that schedule you laid out, 1-3, if they're lucky.
Okay, since you're good at that one, let's take a look at this one here real quick, and then we'll move on. The Raiders over the next four games, and this would take them – come on here now. Stop that. The Raiders here over the next four games, and that would take them to midseason. They will be at home this weekend to the Chargers. They will be at home after that to the Chiefs. They will go on to and play – at Jacksonville on October 23rd, and then they will go to Tampa Bay on October 30th and play the Buccaneers. Right now they're 3-1. What do they come out at midseason?
I'll give them 6-2. I think they could split these, you know, go 3-1 again. The only thing that I have a little pause with is that two of those games you brought up are division games. I don't think the Chargers are a very good team, but it's a division game, so you always got to pay a little extra attention to it. I think the Chiefs game could be the one where they have a slight misstep. Jacksonville doesn't scare me. Tampa doesn't scare me for the Raiders. I think the Raiders match up well against both of them. So, you know, like I said, the only pause I would have would be, you know, they have two division games in that set of four, and, you know, that's always something you got to watch. But yeah, I think they could be 6-2. I would say they win three of those four. The big tell will be this week. If they beat the Chargers this week, I think they're well on their way to getting three out of those four. I think that's the biggest question at this point.
All right, I've got the notepad out. So there we go. I'm making the notes. All right. real quick, we'll go over real quick at this, take a look for a couple of seconds anyhow. Spent a lot of time on it, on the Rams and Arizona game. We kind of alluded to it a little bit at the beginning. The Rams won this game 17-13, and that gave them a 3-1 record. And the Arizona Cardinals dropped this game by 4 points, and that dropped them to 1-3. Case Keenum was 18 of 30. Two touchdowns, no interceptions. Carson Palmer, 23 of 36, 288, one touchdown, one interception, but then he left the game. Drew Stanton comes in. He went 4 of 11 for 37, no touchdowns and two interceptions. Ugh. What's going to happen to this team on Thursday night if they got to play him? You know, they're already staggering at this moment. And then you're going to go and do that one. I got to quit. You know, what else are you going to do? But I don't know what the hell. Seriously. I don't understand maybe Arizona does have a pretty good a rush defense. But I'm looking at this box score, Brandon, and the stats in the box score. And, you know, I look down and I see Todd Gurley getting 33 yards. And I'm going, are you kidding me? That's it.
The Rams,
33 yards.
The Rams' defense is awful. I mean, offense. Their defense is not awful, as a matter of fact. That's why I think that's what's keeping them where they are. But their offense is just at the moment. They didn't look good at all in this game, but their defense kept them in it, you know, by, you know, a physical game against the Cardinals. I mean, we saw a lot of Cardinals, you know, dinged up in that game. I mean, we saw Chris Johnson go out. And as a matter of fact, I read today Chris Johnson's now on injured reserve, so that groin pull must have been pretty serious. We already covered the whole Carson Palmer issue at quarterback. He's, you know, got his bell rung. I mean, there were a lot of it was a physical game. And that is a Jeff Fisher signature, is a physical defense. So, you know, I think that's what's keeping the Rams in. I think the Cardinals, I'll be honest with you, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I thought they were going to win week one against my Patriots. That didn't happen. So, you know, I don't know if that game messed with them a little bit early. And then now they've just happened to hit the wrong teams at the wrong time. I don't know. But they certainly have dug themselves a hole that, you know, you're 1-3, you got a short week, and your starting quarterback's in the concussion protocol. Could we stack anything else up against you? You know what I mean? So it's like they got to find some answers, and they got to find them quick. That's for sure.
Yeah, you know, I'm just checking over some stats here real quick and trying to, you know, I guess really basically in an effort, excuse me, to try to diagnose exactly what Arizona's issues are. Because when you take a look at just this Rams game, look, it's not a horrible situation. I mean, look, David Johnson got himself 83 yards on the ground. The team overall put 118 yards up rushing. That's not horrible. They had 325 yards in the air. That's not horrible. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They spread it out over 10 different receivers.
All right, they have a solid receiving core, too.
They're moving it around. Yeah, you got Brown, you got Fitzgerald, you got David Johnson, you got Michael Floyd. You know,
you got
John
the other
Brown. Yeah.
Two Browns.
So, you know, Andre Ellington.
He's,
you know,
now their number two running back.
But he's catching.
He has been elevated.
Well. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, he
has kind of been the third down back already. He was third on the depth chart as running backs go, but he was their third down back because he is pretty good at, you know, catching out of the backfield and
catching
making
out of
something
the backfield.
Happen.
Right. Exactly.
So, but with Chris Johnson going down, Ellington's going to see more touches as a running back. He's going to have to because, you know, David Johnson can't carry the load by himself. No, we've seen that. No running back in this league anymore, you know, does everything. Every down, you know what I mean? It's too physical a position.
Yeah, so
I mean,
even down
in Dallas where you have Ezekiel Elliott lighting the world up as a rookie, you know, they're spelling him with Alfred Morris, rather. And Alfred Morris is a capable back.
You look at this box score and you come away from it and you go, all right, well, wait a minute. It looks like a pretty solid game here. And you know, listen, they only lost by 4. So, I mean, you know, for the most part, I guess basically it was pretty solid. But why is this team 1-3? And then I go over and I take a look at, okay, well, wait a minute. Maybe they've got some defensive issues. Now, Arizona, historically, over the past couple of seasons, has been a pretty strong defensive team. Arizona right now is ranked the 9th best defense in the NFL.
Yep.
in the NFL. Now, they're giving up a few more points than most on average. They're giving up 20 points per game, all right? So that's a little bit higher than some of the other better teams that are ahead of them. But still, I mean, we're not talking New Orleans Saints here, who are giving up 32, 33 points a game. I mean, that's what the New Orleans Saints are giving up. They're giving up 33 points a game. And if I'm not mistaken, they currently right now have the same record as the New Orleans Saints, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, you know, what the
That's telling you there's issues on the offensive side of the ball. They're not putting up enough points. And you know, we've seen it. We've seen them move the ball well, but, you know, they're not putting it in the end zone. We've watched a couple of these Arizona games. We've seen them. And they don't look terrible. You know, we see Larry Fitzgerald still making plays. We see Michael Floyd and John Brown, you know, putting up. I mean, well, look at the numbers. John Brown put 10 catches for 144, but no touchdowns. You know, Larry Fitzgerald, 5 for 62, no touchdowns. David Johnson out of the backfield, 4 for 41. The only touchdown was Michael Floyd, who had 3 catches, with one of them being a touchdown. So it's just like, you know, it seems to me that they're having issues, you know, on the offensive side, putting the ball in the end zone. And that's what they got to fix. But now they got to do it with a backup quarterback on a short week.
You know what's going to make their lives...
Talk about having the deck stacked against you.
You know what's going to make their lives difficult too, Brandon, is that a lot of their home games are on the front end of their schedule. They have already, of their 4 games, 3 of them have already been at home. And of their next 4 games, they're going to get 2 more of them at home. So they're going to have played on the front end of the schedule 5 games at home. They're going to have a lot more away games in the second half of the season.
Well,
taking a look
the math
at their
would
long
say they'll have 5. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to have 5.
Taking a look at their losses, the week 1 loss, as you point out, was to the Patriots. They lost by just 2 points. But that was a home loss, okay? They lost to the Bills, which I think was the worst loss they had. The Bills beat them 33-18. That was that game that a lot of people were kind of that was just last week, the week, you know, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, where a lot of people were kind of, oh boy, well, you know, Rex Ryan better get a win here. Rex Ryan better get a win here because, you know, his job might be in jeopardy. Well, which I don't think was going to be the case anyhow, but anyhow, if that was what people wanted to put out there, fine. The Bills came to play and beat the Cardinals up 33-18. And then they lost this last week's game at home to the Rams by just 4. This one, like the Carolina Panthers, they just don't have that look, do they?
That's
what it is. As a fan, you sit there, you watch. And when I say a fan, I'm not a fan necessarily of the Cardinals, but I'm a fan of football. And so as I sit there and I watch the game, you sit there and go, there's something just not right with this team. This team doesn't look like the same team we saw a year ago, 2 years ago. They just don't have that mojo, as I pointed out, at Carolina. It's kind of the same thing.
I think they're just not finishing on offense is the problem. You know, they're not putting the ball in the end zone like they used to. I think that's why they don't look quite, when we're looking at, you know, from the eye test point of view, that they're missing. They're not finishing drives, you know. They're sloppy. You know what I mean? The drives will end because, oh well, you know, we had a fumble or we had this, we had, you know, a couple interceptions here and there. So it's like, you know, they need to clean that up and finish these drives with touchdowns, not necessarily a turnover. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where the Cardinals are lacking at the moment is, you know, they're moving the ball, they're just not, you know, finishing their drives. So, I don't see it getting any easier with their current circumstances, but.
Yeah,
we've seen backup quarterbacks step up, though. And Drew Stanton did play for Carson Palmer last year in the midst of that 13-3 season. So he certainly didn't do anything to kill them last year. Because they had a solid record, you know. They went to the NFC title game. So Drew Stanton was part of that last year. So I'm not going to.
Well, yeah,
you know,
I mean.
It's one of those tough calls. But
the 4-11 performance from last week, maybe we dismiss that and say, okay, well, he was rushed into the game. And this week,
I think the Rams defense was flat out beating up on the Cardinals offense, too. I think, you know. Fisher does, you know, always have physical type defenses. I mean, Fisher's actually gotten in trouble with the league sometimes for some of the physicality that goes on in his defensive watch. So, you know, I think that was late in the game. I think the defense, you know, already had beat him down, and then, you know, Drew Stanton comes in cold and, you know, he's not going to do much in that situation. You know, and clean up at the end of a game.
All right. Well, I'll tell you something. We don't have.
I give him a pass on that. You know, that was just. We watched that game, and you could clearly see, you know, the Rams were just, you know, they were physical. They were putting some. They were punishing. They were finishing their tackles. They were hitting hard.
Well, we're not. We don't have to wait long.
No.
48 hours from now, the Arizona Cardinals will be playing in San Francisco to play the 49ers. And, you know, I made the comment this past weekend. I don't care who the 49ers play. I want them to lose, and I want them to lose every game by, you know, by a score of zero. But right now, the Arizona Cardinals are a 3-point favorite going into San Francisco. There is speculation that Blaine Gabbert will not play, that, in fact, they may install Colin Kaepernick as the starter into that game. We're going to wait and see on that one. We already know
Is that an injury issue or a performance issue?
From what I understand, it's both.
Okay.
Albeit it's a minor injury that more than likely Gabbert probably would be okay to play under normal circumstances, but there might be some right now on the team, in management, et cetera, that might be saying, great opportunity. Let's get the kid. Let's give him one more shot in there and see what he does. So that's a rumor that is floating out there. We'll have to see how that goes at this particular moment. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. It's a 3-point line right now in favor of Arizona. If I were betting that game right now, I'm going San Fran. I'm betting San Fran on that game to win that game. That's where I would be going. All right, let's go over and take a look at the Denver.
You know what? Let's do this. I'll give you mine. I say on a 3-point line. I say go with the Cardinals. I think there's a good team for them to get healthy against. If you know what I mean. The 49ers don't look good on either side of the ball. They're a mess. You know, I don't know how they ended up beating the Rams week one, 28-0. But you know what? They haven't looked good since. So, you know what? It's a good draw for the Cardinals. The Cardinals need it.
Okay.
And
I think
Drew Stanton.
You want to play that one right on the? You want to play that one right on the line? Do you? You want to play the line on that one? We'll play the line.
I don't care. You can have the 3 points. It don't bother me.
Okay.
I don't think even that close. I think this is going to be a two touchdown plus game. Should be a 2-touchdown plus game. Let's put it that way.
With Drew Stanton. Okay. Interesting. All right. I'll take that one.
Drew Stanton's not going to hurt them that bad. He didn't last year.
All right. All right, let's go take a look at because I got a couple of questions about this one. Again, we don't have to spend a lot of time on it because we only got about 10 minutes here in the program this evening anyhow. We could spend a couple of minutes on the Denver Broncos, who are now 4-0. And they beat up on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 27-7. Tampa Bay team that, I'm going to be honest with you, I think, you know, they're probably still getting some followers. Like me, because there was so much kind of preseason hype about Jameis Winston, and then you had that first week awesome performance that it's still kind of he's still getting some residual benefit from that. And I have a tendency to go, well, maybe this is going to be the week. Maybe this is going to be the week. The Denver Broncos can win this thing seemingly with any quarterback. Trevor Siemian. It doesn't matter. He can leave the game, put in Paxton Lynch, rookie quarterback, first rounder. He went 14-24, 170 yards and a touchdown, no interceptions, and a 76.0 quarterback rating. Brandon, we saw a little bit of this game. I don't know. Did we didn't watch the whole thing. I think we had it on for a little bit. We certainly saw a lot of Paxton Lynch because I think we were coming in on it kind of, you know, in the second half. Paxton Lynch looked pretty good. I was pretty impressed with him.
Yeah, he didn't look bad at all. I got to say this. I'm not unimpressed with any of the Broncos quarterbacks so far this year. They both looked very good. You know, I don't think, you know, I think Trevor Siemian obviously has a little more familiarity in the offense only because he was, you know, drafted by Kubiak last year and, you know, had a year to get familiarized with what he wanted. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm actually surprised that the Broncos have not lost a step, essentially. You know, you could almost make an argument they're better than they were last year in
a
roundabout way.
Are.
You know,
I
think they're getting more.
Thursday.
I think they're getting more out of the quarterback position this year than they were last year. I mean, I'm
Absolutely.
Not trying and don't. I don't want you to take that as me bashing
nope,
Peyton Manning.
I don't.
I think Peyton Manning was just, you know, he was at the end of his career. He had
Absolutely.
A lot of injuries towards the end of his career. He milked one more season and got a Super Bowl. Great. You went out on top. Good for you. You know, I still don't, you know, I still will never see Peyton Manning as a clutch quarterback. You know, he lost three quarters of his, you know, playoff games. And to me, that's not, you know, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. I'm not going to take that away from him, but he's never going to be, you know, what I would consider a top five quarterback. Because he
mm-hmm.
wasn't a big game quarterback. He wasn't a Joe Montana. He wasn't an Elway.
Right. He's not
you know,
a John Elway.
I agree. You know, he was just lacking when it came to the games on the line. And I don't know if maybe he's just, you know, we know he's very cerebral. He's a very smart, offensive-minded quarterback. Maybe he just got in his own head when the big games came around. I don't know. But, you know, it just seemed like he didn't perform when he had to most of the time. Yeah, okay, he did end with two rings. That's good. I think most everybody credits that defense with that ring last year. You know,
Osweiler
had a play part in it too, and you know there was a lot. But you know that's fine, and I'm not going to begrudge him. That's fine. You're a good soldier in the NFL for a long time. You got you know a fused neck now because of it. So you know.
There's
but
no doubt about it.
I think
it.
The Broncos, I think you could make an argument that they are actually a better team this year because they are now getting, you know, a little more out of that quarterback position, be it Siemian or Paxton Lynch. You know, I think Simeon's done a pretty impressive job, you know, and I like what I see out of him. I didn't dislike what I saw out of Paxton Lynch either, but, you know, it's just, I don't know. I kind of like Siemian seems to, you know, he has that on-field leadership, I think, that, you know, some quarterbacks lack. And, you know, like a Jay Cutler comes to mind. He just looks like a lost puppy dog out there on the field, where Siemian doesn't. Siemian looks like, you know, he's in control and knows what's going on. You know what I mean? I just like the look of the way he's playing so far.
Your comments are dead on, and they're identical to exactly what I said last Thursday night in my analysis when we were picking this particular game. We you know, you might remember that the Broncos and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were one of our four picks on Thursday night. And I said, you know, based on what I have seen from the Denver Broncos, you can make the argument that this is a better team this year than it was at the same time last year. At this time last year, you know, a better team. They're a better team because they're more rounded. They were Peyton Manning's team last year. I knew that. Everybody knew that. The coaching staff knew that. They knew what was going on. Everybody in the world ultimately knew what was going on. Peyton Manning was running that team, and he said, to hell with all you guys. You're there for the TV cameras. I'm running this thing, and this is what we're going to do. Yeah, I mean,
he
come
ran
on,
the
let's
offense.
Get it straight.
He
let's
ran
get
the
it
offense.
Well,
he
okay,
ran the
fine.
Offense. That defense,
yeah,
that
saying,
defense is
I'm
still
saying,
being run
yeah, right.
by what's
saying,
his name?
Yeah.
The other Adam, the kid. I can't ever remember his name.
Oh, I know who you mean. I'm trying to remember. Okay.
The Houston Oilers coach's son.
Oh,
Phillips. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, no, I mean, and personally myself, listen, yes, I was a Peyton Manning fan. As his career came winding down at the end there with the Broncos, yes, I was. But listen, I recognize what this team is. This, to me, it's a better team, I think, now than it was last year at this time, as I stated on Thursday night, which is why when I said this the other day, right here at Fred House Sports on Sunday, as this game was concluding, and you kind of brushed it off a little bit. I said, you got to say that right now the Broncos are the best team in the AFC. And you said, oh, I don't know about that. Yeah, you know, how about the New England Patriots, who had just gotten beaten by the Buffalo Bills 16-0.
Yeah.
You're not the only one. You're not the only one that feels that way, because as I was pointing out in the pre-show, in the USA Today power rankings, the number one team in the NFL in the USA power rankings this week, listed as the New England Patriots, number two, Denver Broncos.
No. I think you're kind of forgetting a little bit of what they did, you know, the first 3 weeks where they were 3-0 and nobody thought they could play without Tom Brady. And, you know, they not only won, they won impressively. I mean, they beat Arizona in Arizona, who at the time everybody thought was, you know, one of the best teams in the NFC. You know, they tore apart the Miami Dolphins. I mean, Garoppolo, that first half alone, I think that and the Patriots defense looks better now than it ever has. So I think overall you add Tom Brady back into this mix. I just don't see how you can say, I mean, because the Broncos are good. Their defense is probably better than the Patriots, but the Patriots defense is better than it was last year. And with Brady running that offense, boy, I don't know. I just don't see another team in the AFC that's going to beat them this year. It, you know, if the start was any indication.
In many respects,
Denver,
while
I'm not trashing Denver. You could see a rematch of that title game last year. You could see, you know, New England and Denver again.
No, and I understand you're not trashing them, and I'm not. I'm certainly not insinuating that you are, but. In many respects, while I kind of make fun of the power rankings and I dismiss them.
I give them no credibility whatsoever.
I got you.
You know what? If they all decided tomorrow, we're not doing this no more, I would care. I could care less, because I don't care what the power rankings say. I look at the record and what you see on the field Sunday.
Okay, but what
a power ranking is a culmination of columnist opinions. You know what an opinion is? Everybody has one. You know what else everybody has?
That's where
the power rankings need to go.
Okay, all right. But, okay, I'll say this.
Okay, you can say you want to say about your precious power ring.
And that has nothing to do with what you were going to say. what the power rankings, I think, are designed to provide are a verbal, and if presented in this fashion, visual snapshot, a snapshot of what the league looks like this minute, this second, okay? It's not intended to be a projection. It's not intended to be
why are you taking offense that the Patriots are ranked above the Broncos?
Why?
Because I don't think it's accurate.
Because I don't think it's accurate to what the league looks like right now. Because I think it's completely incorrect. I think that is completely incorrect.
I think they're always completely incorrect. I don't think there's anything redeeming of any real value in any power ranking, to be honest with you. I think they're all a joke. I think they should just stop doing it because there's no consistency. Go to NFL.com's power rankings. Go to ESPN's power rankings. Go to Pro Football Talk's power rankings. You'll like Pro Football Talk's power rankings. They got the Broncos 1 and the Patriots like at 4. So you tell me how valuable are all these power rankings when they're not even close to being the same. You know what I mean? It's just an opinion. It's just like a columnist opinion in an old newspaper, which, you know, are a dying breed. That's the way the power rankings are. They're a columnist news opinion.
You know what we ought to do?
They're all different.
You and I ought to release on a weekly basis on Tuesday nights right here. We ought to release our own Frat House Sports power rankings. You submit to me your list of the 32, and I'll combine your list with my list of 32, and we'll come up with a list. What do you say? And then
that's too much. I don't have the time in a day to do that. I'll be honest with you, and I don't have the desire to. I don't think it's a good thing because look at it. Look at any given week. There's an upset. You know, so I don't know where the Buffalo Bills were last week and New England was last week, but you got to think New England was probably near the top and Buffalo was probably somewhere in the middle. And yet, magically, Buffalo goes into New England and shuts them out. Does the power ranking, it has nothing to do with it. You know what I mean? NFL is a week-to-week animal. A lot of it has to do with coaching schemes. Who can match up well against somebody else. That's why I think power rankings are just an absolute waste of time. Because
that's why I'm saying what the purpose is to
go look
give
at
you
the record.
Snapshot.
Go look if you want a snapshot. Go look at the standings. Go look at the wins and loss records. That's all you got to do. Sort it by conference if you want. You could probably even sort it by the whole league if you really wanted to. They have these websites now take into account all the tiebreakers. Look at their records based on tiebreakers if it ended today. I give that more credence than a power ranking. The power rankings are just arbitrary numbers that the people who write for these websites or whatever they are, newspapers in USA
bloggers,
Today.
Bloggers.
Yeah, bloggers and Pro Football Talk. I mean, that is backed by NBC Sports now, but nonetheless, it started as a blog site. I'm sure Fox has its own power rankings, you know, and all of them are different. As I just said, the power rankings on Pro Football Talk have your 4-0 Broncos is one where you think they should be. So yep. There you go. Go look at that one. Screw USA Today. And they won't upset you.
All right. That's it for this evening. We got to wrap it up here. My lady just told me we got to wrap it up. Couple of reminders here, please. Make sure you are here with us on Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time live for our flagship program, the Frat House Sports Show, coming back at you with, I think we're at 264, number 264, coming to you on Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure you're here and check us out on Facebook as well. Frat House Sports, leave spaces in between. Look for our purple icon. Very well, may be getting a guest or two in here. I've been trying to get Jake Marsing in from Denver to talk to us about the Broncos. We might be able to get him this week. So check that out. And Friday night will be our special Racetrain Motorsports Hour coming to you at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Since we have a Saturday race in the Chase in NASCAR, coming up on Saturday night, we will be coming here to you on Friday night. All right, there you go. That's our program here for this evening. Catch you on Thursday. And, hey, get out there and enjoy your sports. There's a baseball game on, from what I understand.